The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Welcome once again to my program, Afternoons with Mike. On the line with me today is a man that has been serving the Lord for many years. He is the President Emeritus of the Coalition of Christian Outreach. And he's also been the president and CEO of this great organization. Beyond that, he is an author. He's written some books, and we are so grateful to have Dan Dupuy on the line today. Dan, welcome to my program.
Mike, it's great to be with you.
I know that you're coming to us today excited about an upcoming event, which we're going to be discussing in a moment, which is called the Jubilee Conference 2021, Every Square Inch. Now, that is, my friend, a classy title. It evokes all sorts of questions and things like that, but I'm very excited to talk about that in a moment. I always love getting to know our guests, getting to introduce them to our listeners about their story, because, you know, we all do have a story. We all have a testimony that God has given us. And tell us a little bit about yours. Where did you grow up? How did you meet the Lord?
Well, I grew up in the Midwest, Mike, in Cincinnati, and grew up in a family that was sort of nominally in and out of church, but certainly would not have said that I had a faith of my own. In my freshman year in college, my brother invited me to something called Jubilee, the conference we'll talk about a little bit later. This would have been 1978. And I think up until then, my understanding of what it meant to follow Jesus was, you know, responding to God by doing more good things than bad things. It was sort of a self-improvement project, the way I looked at it. But, you know, as I reflected, I think this self-improvement project was starting to break down. And as a 18-year-old in college, I was certainly having a great experience from the outside, you know, good grades, making the basketball team. There are a lot of things that you would look at and say, well, those are pretty great things. But the gnawing need for what I did not have just wasn't going away. And so I found a way to get to the Jubilee Conference, which was in Pittsburgh, not like this year. There was no virtual way to do that.
Oh, yes. Back in then, it was face-to-face.
Yes, face-to-face. And really heard, for the first time that I could remember, heard the message of the gospel clearly, that it was not a self-improvement project, that it was a matter of forgiveness and surrender. And, you know, that it was about following Jesus out of that rather than trying to make myself worthy. That wasn't ever going to happen. So I'm one of those people, Mike, that has, you know, kind of the moment, the day. It's not everybody's experience, but it was mine. I mean, I think I went into that weekend as one person and in many ways walked out a completely different person.
You know, hearing that, and that is so many people's experience, isn't it, where they have grown up in a church and yet not having a clear understanding. I think, even though I attended church for many, many years, I remember that my first glances and remembrances of even hearing a sermon, it would be more, you know, a preacher yelling, that kind of a thing. That was my young guy. And that whole concept of the grace of God, the gospel being clearly presented, it wasn't until I was 10 years old, but I had all of those early. Now, I got saved at 10. And I tell you what, I did hear the gospel at age 10. But sadly, many go on in, like you, into their college years before ever really hearing that in their churches. And that really is that really is a call, and it's a clarion call, I think, to all ministers, all ministries, to make sure that we've got the gospel down. And that is something that we need to be sharing, because so many do translate their early experiences in church as just what you've just done, a self-improvement project.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good catch. I think that's the, well, and I mean, I think that's, Jesus points to that, you know, in stories like the prodigal son, because you have the prodigal son, but you have the older brother. And I think the warning to people who are in the regular practice of the, you know, going to church and obeying the commandments, and that those things, while they're good, they're not the things that can present you righteous before God. That's something God does by his grace.
Yes, and it's something I think that we can appreciate more, actually just really love more as we get older, as we see it. I love Jerry Bridges' book, and I'm sure you've read his works before, but in his book, The Disciplines of Grace, he talks about preaching the gospel to yourself every day. And what a great thought that was the first time I read that.
Oh, it's a good word. And it's it's the reality. I mean, we're saved, but our ongoing need to understand who we are in light of God's grace, that just doesn't go away. And I think Jerry Bridges is absolutely right. We have the need to remind ourselves of what Christ has done on our behalf and what our identity truly is, because that, of course, then has everything to do with how we live out the commandment to love our neighbor as ourself.
And when you look back at those, maybe let's say the first couple of years after you went to that conference and really had this encounter, what are the first remembrances that hit your mind about this new way of living?
Well, I was really well blessed, and who was around me? I mentioned my brother who invited me to the conference. He introduced me to spiritual disciplines. So I knew right out of the gate, I knew that I needed regular time alone with God. I needed to be studying scripture, needed to be praying. But he also introduced me to the discipline of fellowship or community. So ever since I became a Christian at age 18, I've been in a small group and I've been in a church. So, having that sort of structure and those habits has really formed me over the years. That's been, the excitement of new life in Christ, and that we had a growing movement on my campus, and that stuff was awesome. But I think the enduring pieces that got put into place soon afterwards were the more of the regular habits and disciplines that have endured through
books like Celebration of Discipline. Those are so great and almost, in my mind, required reading, aren't they, for a new believer?
Yes. Yeah, those are there's a book by a Jubilee speaker named Justin Whitmell Early. The book's called The Common Rule. And his contention is, if our heart and our mind go in one direction, but our habits go in the other direction, we're going to go in the direction of our habits.
Yep.
So yes, there's Celebration of Discipline. That was some of the earliest exposure I ever had to that, Richard Foster's book.
A classic.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, that is exciting, and I wish every young Christian's experience could mirror yours, because the very things that you were introduced as critical components are ingredients to what we all need. We all need those disciplines. We all need fellowship. We need mentoring, discipleship, and that's exactly what God just allowed for you to have as your experience, and that, I am sure, created a great foundation. Your book is about parenting and raising teens. Tell us about it.
Well, the genesis of the book, the book's called It's Not Too Late, was the experience we had ministering to college students and finding that there were young people who were sort of sent to us by their home churches. And the some of those young people had already decided that they were not going to pursue their faith during college. And part of the reason my organization exists is to pursue exactly that kind of person. But the best work we could do wasn't enough in some cases. And I also, while this was going on in my conversations with parents, noticed that people sort of were giving up during adolescence on their ability to connect with their kids and talk to them about the most important things in their lives, mm-hmm. particularly their relationship with God. So I started digging into the research. There's a really nice body of work called the National Study on Youth and Religion. And in that study, learned that we believe something about adolescence that's not true. And that is that our kids do not want us involved in their lives. And the data simply doesn't support that. So the essence of the book is you, a parent, have a unique role to play in helping your son or daughter follow Jesus over the course of their lifetime and helping them come to a place as a young adult where they own their own faith. And you don't want to abdicate that during the teen years.
Mm-hmm.
Your son and your daughter is not asking you to abdicate that.
You know, I remember this picture, and it's worth repeating. It was from a Promise Keepers event, and it was being played out almost like a skit, whereas the speaker was talking about the very thing that you've just said about how that we try to nurture our kids, and then yet there's this culture thought or concept that when they get to be an adolescent, as they're going into their teen years, it's almost like we should become suddenly their friend and not their guide, not their mentor, not their mom, not their dad, and just let them go. And in this little illustration, they had like an obstacle course that was set up, and it was full of danger and full of just like horrible things that can happen. And it was almost the guy was playing it out like this is what most parents do. They lead their kids up to the point and they put a blindfold on them and says, well, Johnny, from here, it's I'm going to be praying for you, but be careful because the world is full of treachery. The world is full of problems. The world is full of things that can happen to you, but we're praying for you. And instead of, guiding this blindfolded teen through with just being by his side, they just let him go through the treachery of, and what a great picture, mental picture that is that that's not a time to back away. That's not a time to just say you're on your own.
Yeah, that picture tells a story, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm, it does. Well, I tell you what, that is an exciting book, and it sounds great, and I love the concept, and so thankful that you've had these experiences. Did you come from a big family, or what was that like?
There were four of us, and by the time I was born, I was not a result of careful planning, Mike. I was 8 years younger than my closest sibling, I had a different experience than
one of those surprises.
Yeah, I was definitely surprised.
That's great.
Yeah, there was no question about it. But very thankful for the family in which I grew up. I wouldn't say that it was a place of fervent faith. You know, that would be great if it were otherwise. But I was raised by two very honorable people, and who came closer to God in the latter years of their life, my mom and dad, and obviously a great, great brother who just stayed after me, didn't give up on me when it came to being introduced to Jesus, and two terrific sisters. So, I look at the sacrifices my parents made and the cohesiveness of our family, even through some very, very difficult times, and it just causes me great gratitude. It's what I wish for young people Now, I think the hard thing, reflecting on my family, is to see kids show up on our campuses who don't know for sure that their parents love them.
Mm. And they're in a different world in many ways than what you and I grew up in, aren't they?
They are. They're navigating things that would never have occurred to us.
Yeah, it's shocking at times when I look and see that some of the things that, even though maybe the people that would have been leading classes or business owners, maybe they would have not been, let's say, strong believers or proponents for the gospel, yet there was a kind of an acceptance of values, an acceptance of even the old-fashioned, what they used to call the old-fashioned gospel, the old-fashioned truth, the old-fashioned values that are rooted in the gospel, rooted in the Bible. And there was an acceptance of that, even if there wasn't, let's say, following hard after the Lord. But nowadays, it's not an acceptance of those things. We are seeing kids having to grow up with almost a view against it that is really of hostility, and that's a much different environment.
It is. It's an environment that, I mean, I've heard people use the biblical understanding of being in exile. That's in the writing of a number of folks who are trying to understand the moment that we're in. You know, the Barna group, I think, has done some things with that. And I think that, to me, it's reminiscent of what I read in the book of Acts, you know, a culture with a lot of competing ideas about what's true. That Paul and the other folks in that book who were carrying the gospel were carrying it into context where there was not a consensus. There was not necessarily a common story that everybody believed that drove what they did and how they thought about things. Mm-hmm. So he had to contend for the gospel in of course the hostility was pretty obvious. I think it can, as my pastor said, we can get the raised eyebrow, but he got stoned.
There still are some differences. That's right.
But it is interesting to be navigating all this in this place and time. As you said, I don't think we have the same consensus around what's true than we would have, you know, 30 or 40 years ago.
Boy, it's so true. Dan DePuy is my guest today, and he is the President Emeritus of Coalition of Christian Outreach, otherwise the acronym CCO. Is something they use, and we're going to be back with him in a moment talking about this very conference that he himself was so impacted by as a college student. And we'll be back with Dan in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike, and you're on The Shepherd. I'll be right back. Very excited to have a new friend on the line today, Dan DePuy. He's President Emeritus of the Coalition for Christian Outreach, and Dan gave us his story. I just think it is so cool that this organization, in fact, this very conference, has had such a legacy in your life. It's a very important part of your whole experience with Jesus. That is crazy that this Jubilee Outreach, this Jubilee Conference that you attended back when your college days, is now something that you are integrally involved in.
It is. When I take time to think about it, it is really remarkable that something that affected me in 1978 so profoundly still has the, God uses it to change students now. And I've been watching this. I think I've been to every one since 1978, except maybe one year.
Oh, that and is so
every time
fantastic.
I've gone, yeah, it's been an important, you know, we talked about rhythms earlier. There's annual rhythms too. And for me, the return to this conference has become one of those things.
Now, when you think of conferences, oftentimes they travel around city to city. Is that what happened with this one, or is it pretty much a regional thing that always is in the same area?
It's been in the same area. It's been in Pittsburgh in February. And, you know, we laugh now because the CCO is, of course, we're in Florida, we're in California, we're in places that would be a lot more attractive to a student in February. But at this point, anyway, we've kept it there.
You know, that is almost funny to think about it, because I have been many times to Pittsburgh in February. We used to have a conference there as well in the group of churches. Actually, it was outside of Pittsburgh. It was in a little town, and we would fly in from Orlando to Pittsburgh. And, oh, you're right. I mean, that's not exactly the paradise area. It's cold. It's gray. There's no sunshine in Pittsburgh in February.
This is true. We cannot advertise this as a destination conference. That's fantastic. But, you know, the interesting thing is, over the number of years, God has been so gracious to us, and we've had more unseasonably warm February weekends than I can count. And we have food trucks outside the convention center now for students, of course, not this year, but the weather has been nice enough for us to sort of dare to welcome people outside in Pittsburgh in February. So anything's possible.
You know what's so funny about this? My mind is exploding here as I'm thinking back on those days. And we would fly, like I said, we would fly a very big, nice airplane, L-1011, from Orlando into Pittsburgh. And then to get to this other smaller nearby city, we would get in one of these regional planes that were very small. And the ones that they had up there, honest to goodness, Dan, they looked like an old RV, like a Winnebago. I called it the Winnebago with wings. I mean, it was.
That is funny.
And when you would be flying in that cold winter wind would be hitting us, I felt like we were bouncing on the runway when we landed. Oh, my goodness. Those were some fun memories, but you're right. I think I'd rather be in Orlando in February than Pittsburgh. But this year, we're not having to worry about that because it's a virtual conference.
Right. It is. It'll be available to everybody around the world on February 27th. And we'll actually have a second replay of the same conference. That's the other thing about being virtual. You can do the original date, which will be all day on Saturday the 27th, but we'll be running the whole conference again on the 6th of March at First Presbyterian Church in Orlando, which I think will be fun. So people can get two swings at it, or if they like it a lot, they can go back again.
Now, there's this local aspect to what you guys do in CCO, and you've just mentioned Florida, and you've mentioned Orlando, but we have a station up in Gainesville, and I know that you guys are integrally involved up there as well at UF and Santa Fe.
Correct. The thrust of what we're doing there is leadership development. So CCO ministry typically is done in partnership with a local church. Now in Gainesville, we have a former pastor, Bob Shetler, who's doing the leadership development, and you can find him on our website if you have a student there or you are a student in that area.
Do you know that Bob is a dear friend of mine, and he would be in one of the first episodes of this program? Certainly in the first 10. He might be in the first 5, but Bob is a dear, dear friend, and I love that guy.
Yeah, and that's been for the CCO, we have a unique connection to the church. We want students to learn how to be part of the local church, and so our work is typically done in partnership with the church.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody like Bob, who has pastored over the years, is a perfect fit for us and our work with students.
Oh, that is wonderful. Bob, for a long time, was in Orlando as well. He was at two churches in Orlando. He would have been at the First Presbyterian Church, working under David Swanson. And also, he was at College Park, what used to be called College Park Baptist. I think it's the church on the drive. That might be the name of it now. But he was a part of that church as well. He's a gem of a guy, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. We're delighted to be doing work with Bob.
He's probably going to be back on my program soon anyway, so I'll be glad to tell him that we talked about him. I wonder if his ears are burning.
I know. I thought, well, maybe I should let him know.
Oh, hey. That's awesome. Well, let's go back now to this conference, because you guys have chosen a name like a byline for this conference, the Jubilee Conference 2021, Every Square Inch. I'm just dying to know where that's going.
Yes, the conference, Mike, is rooted in Colossians 1, where Paul explains to the church that Jesus is the one through whom and for whom, by whom all things are created, and he has reconciled all things to himself by his death on the cross. He's the firstborn, that he could have the supremacy. So the Colossians 1 points out that Jesus is your personal savior, but he's also the cosmic king. He's Lord of everything. And that's where the every square inch comes from. It's actually a Dutch theologian named Abraham Kuyper who said, "There is not one square inch in all of creation about which Jesus Christ does not say, mine."
I love that. That is such a great picture and a great illustration, but I don't think I've ever heard of a conference using that that concept in their title the way you're doing, and that is beautiful, because it is. The Lord is pervasive. He's through all of us. He's through every aspect of our life, and if we think about a big old area of space, he's in every square inch. That is tremendous. Now, you're doing this virtually, obviously. There's this component, there's this little thing that's been added to all of our lives called the coronavirus, the COVID-19 impact. And, you know, we're all wondering if this thing is ever going to leave us. It started off with that 2-week lockdown to flatten the curve, as we've all heard. And here we are, 2021, still dealing with it. Do you see, though, maybe a benefit like some organizations have had with having to do conferences virtually? Is that something that you're still just kind of wading through, or is it something that you see as maybe a blessing in disguise?
Yes, I think the blessing in disguise part is obviously you don't have to go to Pittsburgh. You could experience it from anywhere. And as the CCO's ministry has grown to different geographies, and as we've worked with students who now live overseas because they're in their native countries, or perhaps they were born here but are doing work somewhere in a different country around the world, they can access Jubilee. Can be accessed from Southeast Asia. It can be accessed from Africa, Europe. So we have students in all those places who've been through a CCO ministry. To me, that's one of the most exciting parts, is there's nobody who can't. If you can get on the web, you can go to the conference.
Mm-hmm, right. And that is exciting, and might be a component that all conferences will, let's say, maintain or continue to some degree for those that can't actually physically go to a conference. But I tell you what, Dan, I am excited about the day and the thought that we could ever once again get back to the big conferences, you know, big sporting events, and looking forward to that time where we can kind of freely live our lives together and be together. As good as all of this is, it doesn't replace that kind of fellowship that I know you've experienced back when you think back to your early days in Jubilee.
Yeah, I think it's important, and we've done this with our students because we're on 135, 140 campuses, and I think every one of those schools has a different COVID protocol. You know, they're
right.
Some, And I think being creative and doing, there's some great discipleship happening on our campuses, but acknowledging that we're missing something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important for us as believers right now, to the degree that we can't actually be physically present with each other and with our neighbors, you know, to whom we want to bring the love of Jesus, to acknowledge this as a loss. This is something, this is real. It's not, as you made the point, it hasn't gone away. And I think we ought to anticipate with joy, you know, the time when we won't have the barriers, even for those of us who have churches that are still meeting physically. We are typically doing it with some restrictions.
And, mm-hmm, right.
It's just not quite the same.
You know, it's not. And I think it is important. And just, I think this would be, you know, something for all of us. Every believer needs to keep in mind that loves fellowship, loves churches. I think we have to keep this thing before our face, that we don't want to get too comfortable with this thing of online church. As good as it is and as important a role as live streaming services have been for us during this time where we really don't have any other choice for some people, it is not something that we should just settle in and get so comfortable with that we say, oh, this is the way I'm going to do it from now on. I just don't think that's right. I think we need to be sure and be vigilant that when the day comes where every person can gather back in a building to have actual fellowship, we need to be ready for that.
I completely agree. And I think if to add another layer to it, not that we're trying to motivate people by guilt, but I think as someone who leads an organization that, you know, deals with young people, we need church people who are older, who are not they're post-college, to model the thing we want our young people to do. So, you know, as people are thinking about, because I get it. I mean, I've talked to people in my own church. There's something pretty great about making bacon and eggs and sitting in front of the screen and going to church. But that's not the norm. And we need to model, if our young people are going to have a robust faith, they need to see us go back to church.
Oh, well said. That's a great point right there. More is caught, as it said, than taught. More yes. is caught. And our young people are, I know you yourself, you've raised, you told me, two sets of twins. And yes. I know that they, when they get to be adults, if they're not already there, I'm not sure what age they are, and you can share that, but I am sure that they are going to be more impacted than just what they've been told, more so by what they see.
Yes. Yeah, they're all in their 20s, and that's absolutely true. We told them stuff, but they're watching what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Still watching what we do.
That's right. Oh, that is such a true thing. Now, with this virtual conference, going back to that, and again, uh-huh. I don't want to even for a moment come across with a lack of gratitude for the fact that we have the technology to do this. But one of the things, again, I go back to the positive sides. You know, for years, people would, back in our day when we were in college, we had cassette tapes to listen to of things. And nowadays, people can catch, after an event is over, people can catch the video online and just be able to access it. And that's going to be true for all of your workshops, because you have a conference here that is more than just of main sessions, but you have lots of workshops too. Tell us about those.
Yeah, we have 20 workshops, which is actually when the conference is in person, sometimes that number is as high as 70. But the idea, if to talk to students about Jesus being Lord of every square inch, means that we're going to address topics that wouldn't necessarily be part of what you'd expect in a conference like this. For example, we might pull out, have a breakout for engineers. I don't know if we're doing that this year. I'd have to check. But, you know, based on vocational choices that students are making, thinking about the Lordship of Christ and what it has to do with being a musician or a sociologist or an engineer or a homemaker or a pastor. And so that's where a lot of the breakouts come from, the acknowledgement that our students are going to do a lot of different things, and they're going to spend most of their waking hours in some kind of occupation. And some of them will go into the pastorate. We hope they will, but not all of them will. And, you know, how does Jesus show up in the workplace when a person's at a bank?
Mm-hmm.
Now, those are some of the things we want to help students think through those things while they're in college to prepare them to live faithfully in every part of their lives and not, you know, have a line drawn between their faith life and their other life.
You know, when people, these kids that are in college, and you think about the message, the culture, the just like the pervasive, overarching themes that they face daily, most of them have nothing to do with what would be classic Christianity, the understanding of the Bible. Those things are, in fact, again, going back to what we were talking about in segment one, are often shunned, avoided, spoken against with great hostility. So these kids that you're reaching out to are going to have a chance to hear the gospel, but not just the story of the gospel, how it is to be lived out today. And that is something that is different. That is something that that they're not going to hear just everywhere else.
That's absolutely right. Again, back to the theme of every square inch, that means there's a connection between the activity of God in the world and the stuff that we do in our everyday walking around normal life. And that's what we want to be able to, that's what we want to be able to address with students.
Now, I understand you have four themes that are going to be kind of carried through at this conference, and they are creation, fall, redemption, and restoration. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. We want students to have the handles for the formation of a biblical worldview. And this is a way to help them organize and think about and be transformed by the biblical narrative that begins in creation and moves to the place of our disobedience and fall and the brokenness of everything that's around us.
Mm-hmm.
The redemptive work of Christ. What does that mean for students? That's an opportunity typically for students who haven't turned their lives over to Jesus to do it. And then the restoration, you know, back to the Colossians passage that God is at work restoring all things. And what does that look like? And how can we participate in that, even though that restoration is not going to be complete until Jesus returns?
Mm.
So it's just a good, particularly now, Mike, I think the assumption that one would have had, you know, back to our earlier conversation, 30 or 40 or 50 years ago about biblical literacy, which wasn't great then.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not great now.
It's so true.
So we want to make sure as we're working with students that we immerse them in Scripture. And this, the Jubilee gives that overarching picture of the sort of the arc of the scriptural story.
Mm. That sounds great. I know you've got some exciting speakers lined up. Can you share just a little bit about that?
Yeah, the four main stage speakers, Ashley Island, who is from Mars Hill Bible Church in the greater Chicago area, who I've heard great things about. She's doing the creation talk, and John Tyson, who and we'll bring his lovely Australian accent. He has pastored in New York City for many years, and we've had him before. He is absolutely terrific. And Timotheus Pope, who's become a friend of mine, who is actually local to Pittsburgh, just a dynamic, dynamic speaker. And then Tish Harrison Warren, her book, gee, it would have been 3 or 4 years ago, Liturgy of the Ordinary, was the Christianity Today Book of the Year.
Hmm.
And she's every bit as good a speaker as she is a writer. So that's really, it's a terrific line. I can't believe we get them all in one day. I mean, that's going to be the fun of it.
And I know that there's a discount, or an early bird registration, that's about to end tomorrow. And that is available. You can go to jubileeconference.com, right?
Yes.
And that's spelled with two E's, just for everyone to know. Jubilee, J-U-B-I-L-E-E, conference.com. And that registration does end Thursday night on the 28th of January. You can get all of the information about this conference there. And we're going to be back with Dan Dupuy coming up in just a moment. This is The Shepherd and the program Afternoons with Mike. I'll be right back. Talking on the line today with Dan Dupuy. He's the president emeritus of CCO. That's the Coalition of Christian Outreach. And boy, I tell you what, I'm excited now to think about getting to talk with my friend Bob Shetler again, because Bob told me about this organization and his desire to be a part of the growth into Florida. And it's something that obviously, because of his effectiveness, the call of God on his life, already happening in a major way up there in Gainesville. And I know he's working to get into the rest of Florida as well. And what a great event this is going to be. Again, if you've just tuned in, we've been talking about a virtual event that Dan and this organization is putting on called the Jubilee Conference 2021, Every Square Inch. And you can find out all the information about that by going to jubileeconference.com. And the registration is available there with a discount if you jump on that registration by tomorrow night. That's Thursday night, the 28th of January. And, you know, you mentioned to me very lightly, tell us a little bit about your own personal family, if you don't mind.
Yeah, Carol and I have been married 36 years, and we have twin boys, Jack and Spencer, who are married respectively to Megan and Hannah. We've got a grandchild, 18 months old, another one on the way, and our daughter Eliza and our daughter Annie are the younger twins. And we've got kids in Phoenix and Colorado, and we've got one here in Pittsburgh.
I tell you what, that is exciting. Now, my son married into a family that had twin girls. And so the two, you know, his wife and her sister, what a cool couple they are. And that that fellowship, that the way that just all of that works together, only God could do that. But it is so great to see and how much they think alike, and how much I'm sure you experience having two sets of twins. That's so rare. I'm sure. Did you know anybody else that had your experience?
Well, when you have two sets of twins, the other people who have the same family blessing, they do sort of pop up. There's not very many at all that have the
most. I would not think so.
The most well-known would be Roger Federer and his wife, the
tennis player.
The tennis player. They have two sets of twins.
I did not know that.
We keep waiting for them to call and ask for advice, but that hasn't happened.
That's awesome. Well, I tell you what, that is great. And so you've been in Pittsburgh all this time?
We've been here for 24 years. Prior to that, I was in a family business in Cincinnati for 13 years with my dad and my brother, which was a tremendous experience. And it's really what I thought I'd be doing over the rest of my life. But I guess God had other ideas.
Well, Dan, it's so great to see you still. I know your title, President Emeritus, means that you're still there, you're still hands-on, you're still working and seeing God do all these wonderful things. When you look over the landscape, and you know we've talked enough about COVID, not to bring that up in a present way, but just when we're past it, just Lord willing, when we can get to the point where life can somewhat go back to that sense of normal that all of us are wanting and needing, what do you see happening in this culture that might be different than decades past?
Well, I think the people have described us already before, even before these last few years, as a post-Christian culture, which sounds, I know, can sound like we've surrendered the best parts of who we are and what we've been. That's not as bothersome a title to me. Again, I cannot help but continually go back to the book of Acts and look at the conditions there in which the church grew. And I'm by nature probably a fairly optimistic person, but I wonder at the work God would do in this age. We are not going to have the cultural consensus that we've had. We'll have to do a lot of translation work for people. The thing I would say, Mike, that's really important for your listeners and for all of us to keep in mind is people, the narrative, the bigger cultural narrative, which is people pitted against one another, is important not to read into our relationships with our neighbors. Those neighbors, even if they would self-describe as atheists, may be very open to a conversation about the gospel. And to assume that people don't want to hear what we have to say because in the broader culture, that's sort of how it's working, would be a mistake. We're finding this with students. They may declare that they don't believe in God. They may even declare hostility to the gospel. But in building relationships, we find they have the same needs as everybody else. And that introduction to Jesus is every bit as possible as it would be with anyone else. And as a matter of fact, it's almost more helpful to know where people stand. I think we come from an age where, you know, you could sort of be a Christian and sort of not be. That's not going to work so much anymore. People that have self-declared and said, I don't believe that, they may be open to a conversation. So that's my read on it. We're probably going to continue to have polarization. We don't have a Christian consensus, but let's get busy with the Great Commission and serving our neighbors.
You know, I think that is wise advice. And, you know, when you think about whoever coined that phrase, post-Christian, they did not consult God, did they?
No.
He's not giving up. The Lord is not shortened by that term, and his will is still as much in force as it ever was. And like you said, certainly at the those that were trying to kill Christianity throughout history, the Roman Empire tried to do it, and they couldn't do it. And, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I think we have forgotten, if we buy into those terms, post-Christian, or that, well, they're just so mean to us. Yeah, they are. And they were mean, like you said, to first century Christians as well. But God is still on the throne.
Amen. Amen. That's a really good word. He does not run for elected office.
One of the most beautiful pictures that I've had recently came to me. I just got over you. I don't think we've talked about this at all, but I spent the last half of December pretty sick with COVID myself. Don't even know where I got it or who, would have passed it along to me. It's just one of those weird things. But I had a rough end of December. But during some of the sickest days, we were reading from Paul David Tripp, and he has this wonderful, it's basically a devotional book. And we're reading about the mercies of the Lord in this book, and Cindy's reading aloud, and I'm so sick. And she talked about how that we need to make sure that we don't just live our lives according to what is natural, according to what seems right, and how that we look to the right and to the left. We look horizontally for answers that are only to come vertically. And I tell you what, that was one of the most encouraging things to remember, to have reestablished in my own life, in my own heart. And our vertical relationship with God is very much alive today. And even if people who are in this culture trying to stamp out any word and declaring that post-Christianity, these are the times of that, they're wrong, and Jesus is on the throne. And I tell you what, people that are going to be part of your conference are going to hear that fresh message, and I just pray that it touches their hearts.
Well, thank you, Mike. That is our prayer as well, because I've, you know, as I've said, year after year after year, I've seen the effect on the lives of students and others who've come to Jubilee. I feel like, you know, the thinking used to be, if I can get them in the room. Well, the room's pretty big this year.
It is indeed a big room, and I pray that you have people from all over the world taking part in this. Give us that website one more time.
The website for the Jubilee Conference is Jubilee, let's see.
JubileeConference.com.
JubileeConference.com. That's exactly right.
And Dan Dupuy has been my guest today. Dan, I know you have another appointment coming up, and I just want to say thank you for being with me.
Well, Mike, thanks again for having me on the show. It's really been a pleasure. I've thoroughly enjoyed the conversation.
Well, God bless you. God bless the Coalition for Christian Outreach. And friends, thanks for being with me today. We'll catch you next time right here on Afternoons with Mike on The Shepherd.